and welcome to Season 2, Episode 3, or the 34th episode of Filling in the Blanks, a movie review podcast with my father. I'm your host, Em, and this is my dad. Say hi.
Say hi.
That's Ned. All right, so this podcast is all about watching a movie and trying to remember it to give you guys our review. So this time we're talking about Nope 2022, which we saw in theaters recently. It's actually my second time watching it in theaters. Yeah, you ready to talk about Nope?
Nope.
I guess that was the best way that could have gone, right? I don't know.
The only way that could have gone.
Yeah. I really set myself up for that one. So I will start with the movie summary. Nope 2022 is about two siblings who run a California horse ranch, discover something wonderful and sinister in the skies above, and the owner of an adjacent theme park tries to profit from the mysterious otherworldly phenomenon. That's a summary.
Sounds like what we watched.
Yeah, the plot definitely sounds pretty familiar.
Yes.
Before we get into plot for our review, we always try to cover some important categories like plot, writing, acting, visual, sound, and we'll try to go through those one by one, but we have to start with a very important question. Will you spoil?
Again, I don't think there's that much to spoil, but no, I mean, if there was, I know I wouldn't. It was a good movie, worthwhile watching.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're going to talk about today really speaks to how cinematic this movie is, and I definitely encourage people to see it in theaters if they want, just because like the sound, how immersive you are. And I don't think we have to really get too in the details of any of the endings to not spoil anything, but yeah. I think that also one of the strengths of this type of movie is what you come away with and like your kind of how you sit with it and how you think about it afterwards. So I think people will get a lot out of it, and I don't want to spoil it in case people want to experience it. Nope, 2022 is by Jordan Peele, director, writer, producer. And we know Jordan Peele for doing Get Out and then right after doing the horror movie Us. So he's definitely made a big name for himself as a horror director and just bringing a new perspective to, I think, genres that might feel more tired or cliche. He brings a lot of new thinking to a lot of that genre. So what do you think of about Jordan Peele as a filmmaker?
I think I'm very impressed with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh, new.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of stuff you see in the movie theaters the last decade or more has just been carbon copy,
remakes or IP.
Not necessarily even remakes, just using the same formula over and over and over and over and over, mm-hmm. You know, just plugging in a different name or different title. And his stuff is much more thoughtful, like some of the excellent directors that are around now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. This being only Jordan Peele's third film, and knowing that his first Get Out won him an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, this is definitely up there with the highly anticipated movies of 2022. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people are excited for what he will do next. So this was a big one. And I think it definitely is interesting. I think it's a lot of people are saying that they like this movie, Nope, less than his previous movies. I think it's a little unfair to always like stack those against each other, because a lot of people
I think that's sort of natural, you know.
No, you're. I think you're right.
Compares previous work to current work, and you know, it stands on its own. But did I enjoy some of the old Get Out or what was the other one?
Us
more. I mean, definitely Get Out was just like, you know, crazy.
Yeah,
he was so new then too. So it, you know, it's always. Mm-hmm. You know, more interesting when it's a brand new director. But this would have been third. If I was ranking this, it would be third, but doesn't mean that I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Or wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I think genre wise also one of the clear reason that I think it stands out and people will rank it less is genre. You know, the first two were definitely more social commentary horrors, and this had mm-hmm. a science fiction element written in. Mm-hmm. So it felt more, while there were scary parts in it, it felt more like a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Than just the horror of Get Out, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. So what would you say this plot is about? I know we gave the summary, but I want to hear in your own words.
I'm pretty sure it was about an alien.
Yeah. I have listed here, plot is Cowboys and Aliens, not to be confused with the 2011 flop starring Daniel Craig.
Which should have been good, because that whole concept sounds really cool. And boy, was that a disappointment. Yeah. But there were a couple of good scenes in it.
And Cowboys and Aliens. Yeah. I remember watching that with you.
It had just the thought of mixing a Western with aliens was like, just sounded so crazy good.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so this Craig in it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this obviously was not technically Cowboys. It has
near that. Yeah.
I mean, it has Western themes. Think of, you know, Stephen Yeun. He plays a character named Jupe, who starred in the 80s as the token Asian American character in a lot of Westerns. So he created a theme park based off of his popular 80s character that he played called Juniper's Claim. And so, you know, we're touching on the Western genre, but really it's just horses.
Yeah.
Before we get deeper into any plot, I gotta ask you, do you believe in aliens, Ned?
I've been abducted.
Tell me more.
I had to sign a non-disclosure.
Responsible aliens making you sign an NDA.
That's the only way I could get off the spaceship.
Well, shouldn't you not even be able to tell me about that?
Huh?
I think the fact that you even are telling me you've been abducted in the first place, I think you better lawyer up.
No, I can say that. I can say nothing more, though. But it is true, I've been abducted.
Okay.
I was also doing mushrooms at the time.
Oh, yeah. You want that to be on the internet?
Sure.
Okay.
Mushroom up.
So, yeah. So Ned does believe in aliens.
And mushrooms.
So I think a lot of the strengths of these Jordan Peele plots are, like I mentioned earlier.
Did you say Jordan Peele plots?
Yeah.
Oh.
The plots that Jordan Peele creates.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of the strength in these plots that he creates are about how a lot of them are really left up to interpretation. The more you are able to sit with the concepts that he presents, the kind of stronger they get. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, but I think one of his greatest strengths are characters.
Mm.
And you know, this also the selection of the actors that portray these characters. But his and one of the things I've always missed in most movies of late are they're not very character driven. It's mm-hmm. it's, you know, whatever. But his characters are always so strong and so well developed that the story flows so much better with these strong characters.
Mm-hmm.
Even characters in his movies that have smaller, insignificant parts are still come off as being very strong.
Do you have a favorite character from this movie?
Nope.
Come on.
What?
You just went on about how much you like his characters, but you don't have a character you really like.
That's why I think he's so good, is that there's no one character that, no, I wouldn't say stands out, because of course there's always a lead and a second, but all of them really did what they needed to do mm-hmm. to put the story together. So no, I really didn't have a favorite. I really liked every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the cast. Because the main cast is Daniel Kaluuya. We saw him in Get Out. He plays OJ. Kiki Palmer plays M. Steven Yeun plays Jupe. Brandon Pereira plays Angel. Michael Wincott plays, I think his name is Ansel. And then Keith David is Oda Sr. Small part, but I just like when Keith David is in things.
And who did you discover?
Who did I discover? Oh, are you talking about the voice of the motorcyclist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I found out the voice of the motorcyclist was Nicolas Cage. He's not credited at all for it, I don't think. Unless, maybe. I had to find it through trivia on IMDb. I wonder if it's on Wikipedia. But yeah, I thought the TMZ motorcyclist sounded familiar. Did not know it was Nicolas Cage.
That's funny.
But yeah, really strong cast overall. You know, I love seeing actors that I grew up with having a strong role. Kiki Palmer was in Nickelodeon and Disney when I was growing up.
I don't know any of those actors.
Steven Yeun, you know Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out.
Well, I mean, yeah. But
Steven Yeun, he was in The Walking Dead. I think he had a really prominent role in Walking Dead.
Didn't see that.
Brandon Pereira, I actually have not seen before, and I don't think I saw Michael Wincott before. But you know Keith David. Small
Who's
role.
Keith David. What's he been in before?
They Live, The Thing, Armageddon. He did a voice for Princess and the Frog. He's been in a lot, but he was also an 80s horror movie star as in The Thing.
Oh, I know him. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him in something. Yeah, but he always plays, he's like a character actor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really strong cast overall. I think they all bring a certain, like, fun angle to every role they play. You know, Brandon, who played Angel, who I have not seen before, who works for Fry's. I thought he was a very funny character.
He was good.
And yeah, I think they all had small things. Steven Yeun had some great moments. And Kiki Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya are definitely forces. So yeah, another strong thing about this movie, other than the characters, I think is definitely the cinematography of it. There's some very beautiful shots because you're in Agua Dulce in like middle of California. That's where Agua Dulce is, right?
Could be.
Yeah, so I mean it's like in between Los Angeles and Lancaster. So north of Los Angeles, like directly north of Los Angeles, essentially. One of my fun facts today is also this was the first film or first horror film ever filmed with IMAX cameras. So, you know, we watched it a little later, but definitely I heard watching it in IMAX is the move because this film definitely was filmed for to capture in really high resolution.
Yeah.
Definitely a good movie for great cinematography.
I concur.
Wanted to see if you had any other things you really liked about this movie. Any moments that you really liked? Any shots that, or scenes that you enjoyed?
I liked it all.
Nothing to add? Come on. Give me... What's the first thing that you think of when you think of Nope?
I don't want to really give it away, but I can't really give it away. But I like that early scene with he and his dad.
Yeah. So what you liked about the scene, I'll cut it out, but your favorite thing was the fact that it drew you in immediately. The plot just started.
Yes, exactly. The movie just started, and it threw this, you know, curveball at you immediately, you know, because I when it started and I saw how those two were playing against each other, I thought that was going to be a big part of the plot, that you know, is the father son and you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
but then he, you know, he took a right turn suddenly and you know, you're off balance, and I like that. I like movies that have unexpected things happening. I hate movies like DC movies when you just know whatever's going to happen, you know, Iron Man's going to win.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. I think some movies definitely are also really slow to start, and Jordan Peele has never had that issue. So I like when a movie throws you right in. Like, you know... Not in a way that makes you feel immediately confused, of course, but in a way that's just like,
even that's
create stakes
thing.
Immediately.
You know, it makes, you know, it says pay attention.
Yeah.
I'm telling you a story. Pay attention.
Yeah. This is the movies. My favorite line was by Jupe Steven Yeun pretty early on when he is first meeting OJ and M on Jupiter's Claim, and Jupe is talking about something that tragic that he experienced in the past, keeping it vague so we don't spoil anything. He witnessed a tragedy very young, and when M asked him to describe it or like what actually happened, he pointed to the SNL skit about it. And he said the SNL, they were just spot on. And Chris Kattan, who's an actual SNL performer, he had this incredible performance. And yeah, that really struck me because today, if something tragic happens, there will likely be an SNL skit about it. But also, it was really interesting about how, you know, we compartmentalize our own tragedies and, like, witness something terrible but still really like to sketch about it.
It showed you, you know, it gave another layer to his character.
Yeah, I think this movie says a lot of things about, you know, spectacle and tokenization and commercialization. Fame. Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Recording everything for money, even though there's some questionable things that you're doing to record.
Exactly.
So I think having that up and, you know, I won't get into the details of this, but this was actually referencing something that SNL actually similarly did, not in the same way, but it's definitely like, I do like how researched this is, like all of these references they make, the accuracy that they have, like they mentioned real SNL performers. I'll dive into fun facts. First fun fact, despite being featured prominently, Fry's Electronics is closed. The film is shot The outside the alien crashing into a Fry's. That's the Burbank location. That is a real location. Something that a lot of people might not know about Fry's is each Fry's was like themed, right, for some reason. Our local one was like Hawaiian wine.
It was tiki.
Tiki, yeah.
Polynesian.
Okay. And then apparently Burbank, California's was alien themed. Weird thing for an electronics store, but.
And it's still there.
Yeah, the building is still there.
And the UFO is still
there.
The
UFO, yeah. So other big influences that Jordan Peele, movies that Jordan Peele listed as being big influences on this film were King Kong, Jurassic Park, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Signs, and The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, no. I don't know why.
I don't know. I kind of see all of them. I just because of how each of these films really treat, you know, the addiction to spectacle of like our society. You know, we live in a society, you know, we have to be looking at everything and make everything a big thing.
Okay.
No. For small things that like, the magic is in the details here. In the, I'll say last scene, but no context to the last scene, Kiki Palmer's character's Emerald is wearing green, and Daniel Kaluuya's OJ character is wearing orange. Not funny. Emerald and OJ. Yeah, another detail that was included. Antlers, Hulse, mentioned something about Mumbles, someone to ask Siegfried and Roy about taming a wild animal.
Yeah.
And this is a reference to magicians Siegfried and Roy, who are known for featuring exotic animals in their Las Vegas show. But during their shows, a 7-year-old white tiger named Manticore did attack Roy, leaving him injured. He survived.
Badly injured.
Yeah, it just... Yeah, everything, every detail that they include is so researched and on theme. And then this is just a general fun fact about how thoughtful, how much thought everything is put into this film. At one point in the film, Steven Yeun's character, Ricky, states, "In 1 hour, you will leave here having witnessed a spectacle." And that is exactly 1 hour from the film's end credits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about how everything is so thought through. Like,
yeah,
it feels like so meticulously planned when you look back. You know, this film, for design, it worked with Caltech professors.
Oh, really?
And yeah. A Caltech professor, John O. DeBeery, who is an expert on aeronautics, I think is the word.
Yeah, sure.
How things fly. Collaborated with Peele to create everything. So, and something you mentioned earlier about how this felt fresh. Well, it proved to be fresh because it went on to its opening weekend. It debuted with $44.4 million at the box office.
Very good.
Which topped the U.S. box office, but it's also the best opening weekend for a original film actually since his last film Us in 2019.
Wow, he's selling tickets
for creating original films. He's the guy, and I think that, you know, I really look forward to that trust that he's gonna have in the future, that studios are just gonna give him the ability to create without,
you know, absolutely. I know a lot he's of got, he's got a lot of clout right now.
Yeah. What do you think the title of this movie means? What does the title of this movie mean to you?
Nope.
Yeah, what does it mean?
It just means nope.
Or like, why is the movie named Nope?
Well, that's why. Because you don't, there's, it's hard to believe things that you don't believe. So you just go, nope.
Nope. Yeah. Another theory is that NOPE is actually an acronym for not of planet Earth.
Oh, I like mine more.
But Daniel Kaluuya does say NOPE at one point in the film.
He says it more than once.
Yeah, that's his reaction to seeing something crazy is just like, nope.
Nope.
Nope, not going to deal with this.
Right, exactly. That's going to be my new catchphrase, by the way.
Oh, God. Nope. I made a mistake by buying you tickets to see this movie, didn't I?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's the end of the fun facts that I have. Do you have any last thoughts, or do you want to get into ratings?
I'm thoughtless right now.
Oh, head empty. Yeah. All right. So let's start with ratings. Did you fall asleep during this movie?
I almost got a little sleepy because it had been so hot during the day and I was sort of wiped out.
Oh yeah.
But no, I did not sleep. And part of that was the seats were so uncomfortable in that movie theater. I don't think you could sleep. We had those.
This was not
recliners,
a recliner.
I could have fallen asleep. Yeah. And not because it has nothing to do with the movie. Absolutely nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
I just was tired. But I did not sleep.
Yeah, for context, we're recording this. It is a heat wave in Southern California. So we did go to the movie theaters to escape the heat. Classic.
Yes.
Free air conditioning. I mean, air conditioning nothing. For the cost of a movie ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I didn't fall asleep either, which is surprising because this was my second time watching. Because sometimes I fall asleep on second viewings. But yeah. So what would you rate this movie out of 10?
This is going to be up there for me. What was the last movie we did?
The last movie we did was The Gray Man.
The what?
The Gray Man on Netflix. It was the action movie with Ryan Gosling in it.
Oh, I don't even remember that. I would give this a solid 8.5.
Yeah, I think that's actually exactly what I rated it.
Yeah, that's good.
I have it. I list it as an 8.5. And I have a list. I'll update it, and I'll figure out how to send it to you before each episode so you can have it open.
Sometimes I forget what past ones were, and to keep it in balance with all the other things we've seen, it would be nice to reference that. But I think 8.5 is about right. I wouldn't go any lower than that. Because I did enjoy it, and there's so many good things about it. But I wouldn't probably go any higher because, you know, did I love the movie? I really enjoyed it. It wasn't quite, you know, loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned what I would give this movie to. You know, for reference of, like, how this is doing commercially, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 82% critics, but 68% audience. And a lot of audience members, I've seen a lot of people, a lot of negative reactions to this movie. In terms of people saying, like, definitely it's not their favorite Peele. But then also, something funny that happened on the internet is that a YouTuber went on this whole Twitter rant about how he hated this movie and it's absolute nonsense. And his name is Logan Paul. And Logan Paul,
such a dipshit.
Yeah, Logan Paul, everything he does is about spectacle and capitalizing on spectacle. You know, he had this big scandal on YouTube years ago where he went to Japan to a forest that they call the Suicide Forest because a lot of people go there to commit suicide. And he filmed dead bodies. And he's complaining about a movie about spectacle. It's like, this movie's about you, bro.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, you know, if you said the sky was blue, he would come up with something saying that it's not. He just likes to be, say things.
He likes to antagonize.
Exactly. He's a dipshit. I wouldn't listen to two words he said.
Yeah, I'm not listening to it. I just think it's funny just because, you know.
Yeah.
Clearly you're not reading into anything. But yeah, I think this is an 8.5. I think there's a lot of things that I thought about afterwards, or I realized afterwards, which is really nice. I love when a movie has that sort of lasting impression.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely a lot of beautiful cinematography and great performances. Is it like my favorite movie? No, but it's definitely a really good one that I would
recommend.
Everything
you ask for.
So yeah, that's Nope. We watched that in theaters. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, the seats were really not very comfortable. Seats.
I'm so sorry, AMC theaters. Get recliners.
AMC, get your act together.
All right. Well, that is it. You want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Goodbye.